spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, giving positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. We are the authentic source of Nigerian information to Nigerians in the diaspora. And of course, we continue with our Diamond Day Nigeria broadcast, celebrating 60th independence anniversary of the Nigerian nation. Right now, we have Senator Shehu Sani with us, as advertised and as promised. And of course, Senator, good day. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm fine. And how are you?
I know. Today's been a busy day.
Yes, it is.
I know. I told my mom I was going to interview you today, and she says I should say that you are, well, I think it's Megashin Kai or something. She's Yoruba, but she speaks Hausa very well.
Yes, I think so. That's what they call me.
Oh, that's what they call you? All right, I'm going to tell her that she, okay, Hausa is still very good. All right, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right, so, I have Dr. Dele Shetelu with me here in the studios. He's a senior lecturer, political science department, Lagos State University. And we've been talking to quite a number of Nigerians assessing and appraising the Nigerian nation at 60. One of the first questions we ask our people is, did you listen to the president's speech and what do you make of it?
The speech is not that different from other speeches we have been hearing from him or from the Nigerian leaders of the past. Mm. But what is a bit frustrating with this one is the fact that people expect so much from him to say a lot. Mm. In view of the fact that people are suffering, things are not working, the expectations and hopes of people have been dashed. There is a general atmosphere of hopelessness and pessimism. Hmm. So it was expected for that the president should encourage people, give them hope, and announce some new policies and programs that will alleviate the sufferings of Nigerians and relaunch this country, and a kind of reset and reconfigure his administration. Mm. But that was not part of the speech, and that made it like any other speeches of the past which he has delivered as a leader.
Mm. You are even putting mightily. I've been going on the internet, and what we are seeing is that Nigerians are reacting. They're saying this is the worst speech ever. I don't know. Doc here with me also seems to agree with you on that assertion. But okay. What did you expect, really, from the president on this 60th independence anniversary, in concrete terms, given what has been happening or what is pervading in the Nigerian environment?
Well, it's unfortunate that I went through the comments of Nigerians, and I can say it confidently that over 90% of people who are opportune to post their comments on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram has been negative. Mm. Sometimes even insulting. The fact that we are 60 years, I still believe we have something to celebrate. And I still insist that there's a need for us to differentiate between the anger against the government and with the love of our country. Mm. But naturally, when you have a good government, people will love their country more. And when you have a government that is unable to perform, and people will start raising doubt about their country. But back to your question, specifically, I expected the president to address some key issues. First of all, what is he doing new on the issue of insecurity, mm-hmm. as it pervades particularly northern Nigeria. In the northeast, the Boko Haram are still killing not just civilians, but killing our soldiers, our policemen, unleashing mayhem. And then in the northwest, bandits have taken over territories, kidnapping, making life unbearable for people living in the rural communities. And in this north central, you still see bloodshed in Plateau, in Benue, in parts of Taraba. And that needs to be clearly addressed, what he intended to do that is different from what has been done. Secondly, there was expectation from the president on the issue of power. What specifically does he have in package to address the issue of power, apart from the fact that Tarib has been suspended for 2 weeks? Then what becomes of Nigeria after 2 weeks? People are paying more and are not getting adequate supply of electricity, and no nation can industrialize in that kind of atmosphere. And the next thing you need to do is what becomes of his party's promise of restructuring. Since the last time we heard that the government is still working on it, and it's now we are in the sixth year and remaining 2.5 years for the government to go. Does he intend to restructure this country or what? And then the issue of economy. What are we actually doing to diversify this economy? What have we achieved in the areas of agriculture? I mean, these are all fundamental issues that borders on the present and future of Nigeria. And then what is he doing differently to address the issue of national unity that has seriously been staggering and shaking as a result of many factors, one of which is nepotism? So these are all fundamental issues which he need to have addressed. That has not been addressed, and I believe that Nigerians are very angry. But I still insist that we have the right to be angry about our government, and we have the right to change our government. But it shouldn't reach the point that because our home is bad, we should demolish the house. So we should in every way appreciate our country. But one thing I come to observe is that it's not only peculiar to Nigeria. I have gone through the comments of citizens from other African nations, from Senegal to Kenya to Ghana to Morocco. Each time you see the National Day is here, people use the opportunity to assess and appraise their government, and it has been generally anger. So we need, the president needs to wake up and do what he's supposed to. He was elected not to lament on the problem, not to shift blame on those who have been in office from years ago, but to address the issue. And if that is not addressed, it means that the government has failed. And that is what is supposed not to be.
All right. Okay, so let's take one of the key points that you've mentioned, the issue of unity of Nigeria. Nigeria right now is at the precipice. Even the civil war did not, you know, degenerate to this level. But right now, there's so much disunity in the country. There are many nations in Nigeria, as we speak, who are agitating for independence, so to say. What do you think is the panacea? What is the solution to this agitation?
You see, like I've said, if you have a government that performs and has been able to deliver, administer social justice and equity, and do everything possible to address the challenges we face as a nation, and you will see that people will be very much proud of their country and proud of their government. It's just like what unites Nigeria today is like the Super Eagles. Yes. The Super Eagles are playing and they are winning against Brazil or Argentina or any of the European teams. You see, Nigerians will be so agitated. Nobody cares whether the team was dominated by Igbos or Yorubas or whether there are no Hausas there. But once the team failed or was disqualified, you see, we all come back to start questioning that the national team has been populated by Igbos or Yorubas or whatever. So the fading national consciousness in Nigeria is as a result of a number of factors. One is the failure of successive governments, not just this one, to deliver the promise of Nigeria and make the Nigerian enterprise work. If you look at what a national day is about 40 to 30 years ago, it's not what it is today. The young people that were young in the 60s, in the 70s, and in the early 80s are different from the young people that are of today.
True.
The young people of the 60s, the 70s, were born in a society where they have free medical care, free education, they take responsibility on their lives, they are well protected, and then they are well guaranteed about their future. So the young people of those days are proud to raise the national flag and identify themselves as Nigerians. But over the years, the new generation, the millennials, those that were born in 1998, 99, 2000, many of them who are in their early 20s and are those who dominate the social media, you will see the anger, because in the last 20, 22 years, there is no experience of peace. It's either we started with Sharia violence in northern Nigeria, then it moved to Taliban in northern Nigeria, then banditry, and then kidnapping, and then Boko Haram. In the southeast, there was the Bakassi Boys, cult violence, and then ethnic militia in Niger Delta, and then the southwest, rise of nationalistic and secessionist group. So an average 22, 23-year-old man or old woman don't know anything like peace and stability other than failure. We reach a point today where the man who is in the position of leadership, who enjoyed free education, free medical care, will tell you that the government cannot afford free education. The government cannot afford free medical care. I was some few days ago in Bauchi when I was invited in the Federal Polytechnic Bauchi. Someone stood up to say the government cannot build hostels, the government cannot give scholarships. So almost the government cannot do anything. So if the government cannot do anything, people are bound to be independent of themselves. And then you cannot. It's difficult to ask a poor man, an impoverished man, a pauperized man, a man who has been neglected, abandoned, and marginalized by his country. It's difficult for you to tell him to be patriotic when he knows clearly that the ruling class live on opulence, on extreme wealth, and on privileges, and that they are doing no work other than feasting on the resources of the state. So these are fundamental issues that we need to address. It's only when you have good, it's simple as that, when you have good governance that ensures social justice, equity, and also ensures that there is power, there is security in the country, people will feel very proud to say this is their country. Young people of today are not like those of yesterday. The young people of today are angry people. They don't engage leaders in debates. They insult leaders. They are violent on leaders because they have grown up from in a society that is combative, that is bellicose, that is intolerant. So these are the realities of Nigeria today, and I believe that only when leaders are able to perform and treat everyone equally. So our leaders are sharing away from fundamental issues like restructuring. They are sharing away from people respecting the fundamental rights of people to exercise their own rights. People have no right to protest. We have reached a point whereby if you are born from a section of a country, you are seen to be underprivileged. And if you are born from a certain part of the country, you are on the side of privilege. Until and unless such issues are addressed. If not, we'll simply continue to save ourselves.
All right. Thank you very much. And like I said, I have Dr. Shetolu in the house with me. I'm not too sure he's going to disagree with you, but just hold on. Let's hear him react to some of the things you've raised. And I believe that I can bet he won't be too far from you.
Yeah, comrade, I appreciate your comments. I appreciate your intervention you know, on the crisis of the Nigerian state and economy. I share most of your views. I differ with you. I appreciate the aspect on justice and, you know, and equity. I'd like to add, however, fairness. You know, the state, you know, the Nigerian state is not likely to be stable and prosperous without justice and fairness and equity. It's not sufficient to converse peace. Peace should exist within context. And should exist within the context of justice and equity as espoused by you, and I would include fairness. I'd like to comment on aspects of the president's speech, particularly on the electricity tariff and the pricing of the premium metal spirit. Mm-hmm. You recall the president in his speech compared the prices of the premium motor spirit in Nigeria with those of Nigeria Republic and Chad and Egypt and Saudi Arabia. I do not understand the basis for the comparison. And he said at the point that there was no basis, you know, that it wasn't reasonable, he said, I recall, that the price of the premium motor spirit in Nigeria would be lower, you know, to the pricing in Saudi Arabia. I didn't understand the basis, you know, for such comparison. I thought the presidency, with due respect, was mischievous and deliberately misled the Nigerian people. Why should Nigeria compare this country with those other countries, you know, in terms of pricing? Why simultaneously neglecting some other variables? What is the exchange rate in Niger, you know, and Egypt and Saudi Arabia, you know? You know, are these oil producing countries? Though the president said Chad and Niger are oil producing countries, you know, how many of these countries have refineries? Nigeria, you know, I'm aware, have 4 refineries, and these 4 refineries are not refurbished, and Nigeria continue to import. And to that extent, you know, there's serious doubt on the question of subsidy. You know, I'd rather think that the Nigerian government is subsidizing its inefficiency, you know, and I would rather prefer Labour had insisted that the refinery should be fixed before the price adjustment. Deregulation may make sense to the extent that refineries are fixed, that Nigeria is refining oil locally and we're not importing refined oil, you know, amidst fluctuation in foreign exchange and fluctuation in the pricing of international crude oil in the international oil market, and so on and so forth.
All right, Senator Shirisodi, just before you react to some of the things that Doctor has said here, let me just read some part of the president's speech. An underlying cause of most of the problems we have faced as a nation is our consistent harping on artificially contrived fault lines that we have harbored and allowed unnecessarily to fester. Is that correct?
Well, I believe that if the president was in the opposition, he will not have said that. Because what I have come to study with people and power is that people, when they assume the position of leadership, they will always see Nigeria as one, and that they look at Nigeria from the prism of power.
Mm.
And when they are in the opposition, now they'll be able to clearly see without any fog that seemed to have blurred their vision.
Mm.
So the fault lines in Nigeria are not artificial. They are very real.
Mm.
I am from Kaduna State, inside Kaduna City. I was born in Kaduna. My parents were born in Kaduna. And I'm granting this interview to you from Kaduna.
Mm-hmm.
And I know very well that inside my city, there's a river that divides the city into two. The northern part of the river is predominantly Muslim, and the southern part of the river is predominantly Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That was not so 40, 50 years ago.
Wow.
We lived as brothers and sisters. But since the Sharia violence in the early 20s, the Christians moved from the northern part of the river to the south, and the Muslims moved from the southern part of the river to the north.
Mm.
Right now, as I'm talking to you, once it is 8 p.m., if you are a Muslim living in the Christian area, you have to go back to where Muslims are, vice versa.
Mm.
So the fault lines is not very far away, and the president's house is located in the northern part of the river in Kaduna. He lived in Kaduna for over 4 decades. He lived in Kaduna more than he lived even in his Kaduna. And he knows very well that even as a president, if he retires, he cannot go and build a house in the southern part of Kaduna itself and say he wants to live there in peace. You cannot. So the fault lines are not very far from his own compound. They are here for him to see. Right now, as I'm conducting this interview, I'm crossing one part of the river to the other side because it's getting late. So I believe that he is simply saying it to present a view which a leader may likely say in order to blow the truth of what is on the ground. But the fault lines in Nigeria are evident, self-evident, and are clear. And it is for the president to address. But denial has also been one of our major problems in the sense that we deny we have a problem. And once you deny you have a problem, the problem can never be solved because it can never be addressed because it has been denied. So this is my view on that.
All right. By way of rounding up, now, what concrete steps do you think we need to take? Because, you see, Nigeria is such a nation that we have so many people, so many ideas. We talk and talk, confab these, referendum, constitutional change. What exactly are we going to do 60 years after to make this nation a great nation in terms of the potentials that God, like you rightly said, has given to us?
You see, we are still desirous of living as a country, and I believe that it is not just Nigeria that is facing the problem of disintegration or its unity is being questioned. Even the country that colonized us, United Kingdom, is facing similar threats from Scotland and other parts of the kingdom that wants to secede from the mainland. So I think if we are desirous of keeping this structure, it's not like you have a building now and there's a crack in it somewhere, you need to address it. So, but the problem is that when you have leaders that deny that we even have a problem, so how do you even start solving them? So I believe that the first step we need to do is to dust the documents of restructuring, all the results, all the outcomes and the recommendations of the previous national confab and constitutional amendment attempt to restructure this country so that it will be better. Because we cannot continue to live in a country with a structural default and with a structural problem. If we continue to deny that the building has structural issues, then we will continue living it until it crashes on our heads. And I don't think that is in the best interest of this country and the whole region as far as West Africa is concerned.
All right, thank you very much, Senator Shehu Sani. Let's leave you so that you can go to the upper, the northern part of the river, or is it the southern part that you are rushing
to? Thank you very much.
Yeah, as you were just talking, we were just shaking our heads that when did Nigeria degenerate to this level? It's unfortunate, but we pray that it's going to be over soon and shortly with the concerted effort of everybody and people like you. Thank you very much for being a part of Spirit of Nigeria Radio. We truly and sincerely appreciate your participation on our Diamond Day Nigeria broadcast. Thank you very much, Senator Shehu Sani.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We stand as a people with one song, with one voice.
Which way, Nigeria? Which way, Nigeria? Which way to go?
Which way to go?
Nigeria,
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, celebrating Nigeria at 60 with historical nostalgic programs and music in the spirit of the diamond anniversary of our nation. From October till December 2020, keep on listening to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Nigeria, 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 Nigeria.